Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about something that is on everybody's mind, and especially in today's world. What are you hearing on the news? Turn it on. $700 billion everybody's talking about. There is a tremendous furor in the United States because of some people that have gotten themselves into a pretty mucky mess with the almighty dollar. Well, we're going to be talking about money, but from a different aspect, but it's just as important, how to be the family CFO. We're going to talk about four simple steps to put your financial house in order. Kim Snyder is my guest. Kim, welcome to the show.
Donna, thanks so much for having me.
You know, Kim, I cannot make a question here. We have got a situation, I just made a comment about it, $700 billion is being talked about as if it's nothing more than a glass of water and an Alka-Seltzer that's going to fix everything. What is your positioning on this? Your specialty is helping people to become empowered. What do you think we need to do to take care of these personalities here that deal with numbers that are so large and they can't seem to get anything right?
Sure. Well, you know, this is a really hard situation that we are in, Donna. Number one, I think because it's compounded by the fact that we have an election coming up, and it's pretty difficult to figure out what's fact and what's political posturing. As if this wasn't difficult enough of a problem as it were, you know, as it is. But, look, we have an issue here. Our financial system is on the verge of seizing up, as you say, largely because you have a bunch of investment banks who have taken on unreasonable amounts of risk and leverage. And whether I'm the family CFO and I do that using credit cards, I overspend and become too leveraged, or whether I'm a huge investment bank like Merrill Lynch or Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns, that's pretty much always going to turn out badly. Now, in our case, personally, we don't have the government to bail us out. You know, nobody's going to come to our rescue. We've got to do it on our own. And that's the point of how to be the family CFO, is not to get in that mess in the first place.
I agree.
Yeah, in the case of the Wall Street mess, however, I'm afraid, as much as I am all for free markets, I'm afraid that occasionally there are times when the government has to do what only a government can do, and this might be one of those times.
Well, I think if we can sift out the fact from the fiction, then maybe we should make the judgment. But
yeah.
I don't see enough fact. I see a whole bunch of fiction. But we're talking about today. Here we have a situation. A lot of people are in a critical positioning. Your book, I think, is a very timely one. Always to be educated about money, how to use it effectively, how to deal with everyday life is very, very important. But when we're looking at a situation as we are looking at today, it has been my observation, having gone through a few tough times in my life, that when you pull in the belt a little bit and you really look at what is necessary and what isn't necessary, and you start making an analysis of what you can do to keep yourself in a very firm, solid positioning, I think your book about how to be the family CFO is very important, and you bring out such very, very good points. Now, you have your own talk show.
That's true, I do.
And how often are you on?
We are on once a week in the Dallas-Fort Worth market on Saturday afternoons.
So there you are. You are with people every week, actually every day, because this is your work. This is what you do. And I want my listeners to know that you have been very much involved in the world of money for a good deal of time. You're very concerned about making sure that people are going to be able to enjoy financial independence and to live a life that is going to have some value. You've done this because you really wanted people to understand what money is all about. And of course, you really have to ask yourself, are you willing to do what it takes to do it? What is that real important factor for any of my listeners who's listening to this now? They're getting bombarded with all of this stuff through media, all of this information that's coming in. A lot of them are going to be very frightened. They may think their nest egg is gone forever. Maybe someone doesn't have a nest egg. They go, my goodness, how can we talk about this, that, or the other? What do we do? What's the first step you'd recommend, Kim?
Well, as you know, Donna, I started down this path because I was in the same situation that many of our listeners are in, and that is I had no job, I had no money, and I was in debt up to my eyeballs. Now, in my case, I had turned over all my money to a big Wall Street brokerage firm, and they had lost it all for me, but I managed to get myself in debt all by myself and found myself in this situation. And really, the book is the story of how I went from that situation to where I am today, which is, you know, arguably by any measure, financially sound. So in terms of what someone does first, I mean, the thing that I want people to take from this book, from my story, is anyone can become financially secure. They have to want to, though. It's not rocket science. It's not difficult. But it does require some sacrifice, which is a dirty word in the United States. It does require some discipline, and it does require some patience. But that being said, it's just a matter of prioritization. If that's important to you, if a future which is financially free of worry is important to you, it can be done no matter how bad your situation is. So what do you do? Well, I think I really believe in starting with the end in mind. And so I believe it starts with a life plan, not a financial plan, a life plan, because certainly money is just a means to an end. So what is it that you want your life to look like 2 or 3 years down the road? To be very deliberate and very conscious about that, and one of the chapters I talk about how I created my life plan. And then once you know what your life is supposed to look like and you can envision that in absolute crystal clarity, then it's much easier to create, to take what's on the inside of your head and make it a reality on the outside of your head. That's where it all starts. And then from there, it's just mechanics.
All right. You make a comment that I think is a very accurate one in your book. You say 90% of married adults age 51 to 61 will experience a financially disruptive event or to be married to someone who does over any 10-year period. And my gracious, that I think is etched in concrete somewhere. I don't know why, but it is. And that just happens to be life. Life doesn't go along perfectly smoothly. There's all bridge burps, just like this blurb with what's going on with Wall Street.
That is absolutely right. And what gets most of us in trouble, Donna, is that we don't plan. There, in the book, there are four simple steps to putting your financial house in order. One, the first one is plan prudently. The second one is save prodigiously, invest wisely, and manage risk. But it all starts with planning. We know that we are going to experience these financially disruptive events, and those can be things like losing your job or a divorce or a loved one becoming ill. There's believe it or not, these academics have categorized something like 67 different financially disruptive events that we can experience over our lifetime, and we know we're going to. So to the extent that we recognize that and plan ahead, they're not nearly as disruptive as they are when we stick our head in the sand and pretend that they aren't coming.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. That is very true. And I think one of the sad aspects of what has been a form of indoctrination is that we're going to be rescued. That is not the case. And I think it has weakened a lot of people. They think that there's always going to be a safety net somewhere. And that may not be there. That may not be there at all. So what else are you going to do? What else can you look at? It requires a shift in thinking. And that's something that you bring out, that education is an ongoing process. For example, when you are dealing with money, there may be, if you decide to get into stocks and bonds, and people will probably just shudder at that right at this moment, but let's say you do, well, then you have to be willing to research what you're looking at. I mean, Warren Buffett doesn't go out and just pick up something just because he thinks it's a cute color. He researches it.
Well, let me say a couple of things about that, Donna. Number one, I would suggest that you are absolutely right. The idea of getting into stocks and bonds right now would make people shudder, and yet the time to buy is when everyone else is selling, and the time to sell is when everyone else is buying. Nobody makes money by doing the opposite. You know, everywhere else in our life, we wait for things to go on sale, and then we go buy them. The stock market is the one place where we do the opposite. We wait until they go up in price, and that's when we want to buy them. But that aside, you know, one of the most important concepts that I want people to get is this idea of accountability. When I lost all that money for many years, I pointed fingers at everybody. It was my broker's fault because he lost all that money. It was my company's fault because they didn't bother to provide us with proper financial planning. It was my parents' fault because they didn't teach me about money. And, you know, in the end, where I finally got to was it was nobody's fault but my own, because we have to be accountable for whatever situation we find ourselves in. Now, in my case, I'm talking primarily about financial, but I think you're right. I think that's true in general. We have, as a nation, gradually come to this idea that whatever situation we're in is somebody else's responsibility. Someone else needs to take care of us. Somebody else needs to hold our hand or bail us out. And in fact, I believe that's problematic, that we have to be accountable for our own situations. And if I'm going to be accountable for my financial situation, the only way I'm going to do that and do that well is if I have some measure of education. Now, that being said, the thing I try to get people to understand is it doesn't mean you have to have a PhD in finance or economics. The truth of the matter is personal finance is really mostly common sense. It does not have to be complicated. In fact, I would go so far as to say, Donna, that when we begin to make it complicated, you know, the more we know, the more likely we are to mess it up. There are some very simple, very timeless principles that if you learn them and you apply them, you can do very, very well.
All right. You make a point also about a plan, that it's what the 80-20 rule, when you got 80% of it all figured out the way you'd like to go, then start moving. Maybe it's a little higher than that, but there's no such thing as absolute perfection. And I have known people that have analyzed until the cows come home, get up, and go back out the next day, and they're still analyzing. And you wonder, how in the world can they handle all that stress? Because nothing ever runs in a straight line. You're always going to have twists and curves. So let's look at where we are today. We've got a big upheaval with Wall Street. All of this stuff is going on. If someone today said, I really want to start doing something today, I want to work with my future, I know that I want to have, let's just toss out a number, $50,000 a year that is guaranteed income, I could be very happy on that, and you'd say, okay, fine. What would you then want to do with them, Kim? If they said, this is what I would aim for, to me, $50,000 a year, and again, I'm just throwing out a number.
Sure.
This is where I feel if I had $50,000 a year guaranteed income, I would feel like I was financially independent, I could travel, I'd be debt-free, blah, blah, blah. What would you recommend?
Okay. First things first. The first thing we recommend, where you have to always start, is an emergency fund. You have to put away 6 months of expenses in a liquid, no-risk savings account. Now, that, of course, presupposes that you know what you spend each month, and what's discretionary and what's non-discretionary. But once you know that, 6 months, absolutely ironclad, goes in a savings account. You don't touch that. That is not for when the dishwasher breaks, Donna. That's for something truly catastrophic. I've lost my job. I've, you know, become ill, what have you. Okay, so that's first. Once you get your emergency fund squared away, the second thing is getting rid of credit card debt. All the investing in the world that you do is not going to pay you 18 or 20% return, which is what you are paying on your credit card debt. So the best investment you can possibly make is getting out of that debt. It's got to be number two. Number three is then you have to begin to maximize your tax-deferred investment accounts. These would be things like 401Ks, 403Bs, IRAs. They are available to you. It is stunning the number of people who do not contribute to those plans. You have to, at a minimum, make sure you're getting your employer's match, but even if there isn't a match, you need to max those out. That is the easiest and best way to save money and become financially free. Okay? And then the last thing that I would say is, as a nation, we really didn't used to have to think about income as our ultimate objective for our portfolio because our parents and grandparents had several things we no longer have. They have Social Security, they had military and corporate pensions, and they had retiree health care benefits for life from their company. We don't have those things.
That's right.
So suddenly, we have to support 3 decades of retirement, and that's a number most people badly underestimate, of, you know, $50,000 a year going up by about 3.5% a year to keep up with inflation. So the objective of our portfolio has changed, as you correctly said. It's now about income. So what the last thing I would tell people is you have to learn how to put together an investment portfolio which is focused on producing income sufficient to pay your bills rather than just focusing on a number at the top of a statement because you can't eat that number. The only thing you can eat is the income coming off of your portfolio.
Right. That's true. And with that, there's also the aspect that there are so many people today, 60s, 70s, 80s, that are working. Now,
yes.
Many of them want to, but there's a lot of them that don't want to. And they may have had this pension, they may have had the Social Security, they may have had all of these wonderful plans set up, and lo and behold, here they are. And they're going, my goodness, we have health concerns. So these are some things, too, that you address. And no matter what your age is, whether you are just beginning to work with money as a teenager or maybe you are a person in your 60s, you're feeling healthy, you're energetic, and you're saying, gee, look at this mucky mess that our country's in right now. I want to do as much as I can to keep myself in as solvent a position as possible. These are tips and tools that you can utilize, and that is why your book, How to Be a Family CFO, is so useful. But you go into something else, which I think is very important, and that is family estate. Now, there are going to be some people that say, gee whiz, I'm lucky if I have a pot to pee in when I'm 85 years old. There are other people that are going to be worth a substantial amount of money. They will have assets. Estate planning is something that you get into. Let's address that a little bit, Kim.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the misconceptions, Donna, is that I don't have enough money to need to do any estate planning. And for the majority of people, that's not true. The simple answer is if you have a kiddo, then automatically you have to do some estate planning because clearly if something were to happen to you, you have to make sure that that kiddo is taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But for most of us, it's not really very onerous. There are 4 very simple documents that each of us must have. The first one is the one everyone will be familiar with. That's a testamentary will. All right? That's basic. We need that. The second thing we need is we need both a medical power of attorney and a financial power of attorney, which gives somebody the authority to act on your behalf as it relates to medical issues and financial issues if you are incapable of doing that. And the fourth document you need is a living will. You need to let doctors and loved ones know what are your wishes if, you know, you should become terminally ill and or incapacitated, you know, such that there was no hope of your recovery. And those are the four basic estate planning documents. They're quite simple. Now, obviously, when you have a lot of money, potentially you can get into some more complex things like trusts and so forth, but for most of us, that's all we need. It's not that expensive, and, you know, I've never really understood this idea that, oh, I don't want to deal with estate planning because I don't want to think about my death. I've always heard that, but, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's really that big of a deal. Personally, for me, I find it quite comforting to know that, you know, I have all that buttoned up, and I'm not going to burden my family members if something should happen to me because I've taken care of it.
Oh, I think that's very true. I was just chatting with someone this past weekend, and there was a family situation with siblings and a mother who was beginning to go into a very bad situation physically, and it was like pulling teeth to get this woman to even take care of what needed to be taken care of. And it's so sad because it creates such dissension. I mean, there may be dissension among the siblings anyway, but while you're alive, why not put it together and be clear? And if you should change your mind, you can always change your mind.
Well,
but it's important to do it.
That's right. And, you know, that reminds me of something, Donna, that's also equally important, which is don't let it rust. One of the things we often do is we get these documents all together, and then we don't touch them for years, and our life changes constantly. And you know, I was guilty of it for quite a long time. If anything had happened to me, the way that my will was written was definitely not what I wanted to have happen. You just have to revisit those things occasionally.
Also, something that you brought out in the book that I thought was very important. And that is when, let's say, a married couple, they set up their own business accounts. Each of them may have their own businesses, or maybe they have their own separate accounts because that's the way they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they have those separate accounts, they should always have on that account, pay upon death, P-O-D, another person's name, so that it doesn't have to go into probate. You know, many times the husband will have more income than the wife, and if he should suddenly die and the wife would need to get to that cash, she can't touch it unless she's on there with a payable upon death notation or statement. Then they won't freeze the funds. Then they will give her those funds.
Yes.
She will have access to them. And that doesn't mean her name is on the check. That doesn't mean it at all. It just means payable upon death.
That's right. One of the documents which is most commonly overlooked is a designation of beneficiary form. It's very similar to pay upon death with your accounts, but it pertains to your IRAs. Your IRAs are not, what happens to them, and by the way, I'm using an acronym which I should clarify, it's your individual retirement accounts and your 401ks, those are not controlled by your will. Those are controlled by a designation of beneficiary form. So you need to make certain that you have those and that they are up to date. And in which case, again, those will not pass through probate. They will immediately transfer upon your death. And that's a big help to your loved ones, to your heirs.
Oh, absolutely. I have known such tragedies in families because someone, usually it was the man, don't ask me why, but it just was their generational training or something. I have no idea. But they would go through a probate process that not only cost a whole bunch of money, but many times the remaining family, a mother with young children, was left with nothing.
Yes.
That, you know, she couldn't take care of a lot of the expenses. I know of a woman that didn't have children, and her husband died, and there was no consideration for insurance, or so she thought, and fortunately her husband had taken out a life insurance policy of $15,000, she just happened to find the papers, and that's another issue. You've got to have a place where everything can be located easily. If something happens to you, where do you put it?
Yes. In the book, we talk about what one of my clients calls their what-if file. And I thought it was a great concept. The what-if file is where you put all of those things. And it can, for some people, it's so detailed. You know, if you think your spouse can't live without you and won't even know how to open the garage door or what days to put out the garbage, then you put those instructions in the what if file too. But the what if file is a very well thought through compendium of all of the important documents, phone numbers, medical records, passwords, everything that someone will need upon your passing to be able to quickly and easily pick up where you left off. Now, where do you put that? That's a source of, that's a big question. A lot of people want to put that in a safe deposit box, not realizing that often they can't get to a safe deposit box when their co-owner passes away. We like to keep it in the home, but, you know, with copies elsewhere for the people who need them, so that if something were to happen, they would have copies and know what to do.
You make a statement in your book, Karen, one key to financial success is to control the things you can and to ignore the rest. And
yeah.
Then there are only three ways to become rich: inherit it, marry it, or earn it. And most of us are going to have to earn it.
That's right. That is absolutely, you know, like right now, Donna, it's really easy to get all twisted up about the markets and the bailout package and, you know, the fact that your 401k is turning into a 201k. But those are things that you cannot control. And why put yourself through that stress? There are many, many, many things that you can control. And if I found that if I take care of those things, then these others will take care of themselves.
Good point. Kim, your book goes into so many different aspects about the credit score, how to manage that, identity theft, health care. Think about that. I mean, most of us are going to be living to be over 100, so that's something to think about. How to stay on top of insurance. Your book is so compact, so together, that I think it's wonderful to have in a library. I think it'd be great for a family to go through together. I think it'd be wonderful for young people to have as a Christmas gift. Put it in there. When they go off to college, they read this and then come and talk to me about borrowing money. But how to be the family CFO, four simple steps to put your financial house in order. Kim, what's your website where people can go and research more?
Our website is kimsnider.com, S-N-I-D-E-R, or you can also go to howtobethefamilycfo.com.
Now, that's how to, that's T-O-B, not the number two, but how, T-O-B, thefamilycfo.com. Well, Kim, this has been delightful. Before we close out, do you have one thing that you would like to leave my listeners with in the way of a thought?
The one thing, again, I want to reiterate it. No matter how bad your situation is, you have the power and the ability to take control over your finances rather than letting your finances take control over you. If I did it, you can do it too.
I agree on that note. We are going to be taking a break. Go research your website. You all are technically savvy, and money is important. We need it. It's our form of barter. It's a medium of exchange, and you want to be sure that you have plenty of it so that your life is going to be a comfortable one. KimSnider.com, that's KimSnider.com. Also, you can go to HowToBeTheFamilyCFO.com, HowToBeTheFamilyCFO.com. Kim Snider, How to Be the Family CFO, thanks so much. I appreciate you, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break, and don't you go away. We've got more good things to share. We're going to be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. I invite you to give me a buzz if you'd like to have me give you a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. It's real simple. All you need to do is call one of those numbers and give me your first name and initial, and and I'd love to know where you're calling from. And then let me do my thing. I'm an information resource, and I'm delighted to share with you what I perceive, and then after that you can ask me a question about anything that you like. So again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. Now, the newsletter is going to be going out, and for those of you that would like to receive it, then just send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com, donna@delphiinternational.com, or my webmaster has already gotten a copy of it, and it will be posted up on my website within 24 hours. So that'll be ready to go for you to read, and it'll list all of the things that are coming up with the traveling microphone for the Donna Sebo Show. I'm going to be in Tampa, Florida, and I'm going to be there doing a broadcast on Thursday. I'll also be there on Friday, and it's going to be real exciting because I'm going to be directly on site with Teresa Tapp, who is a physical fitness, a physical wellness specialist, and boy, I'm going to see it all live and in action. In fact, I'm going to be huffing and puffing probably right along with the rest of them because I really feel that her program is outstanding. But we're going to be talking to a number of people that she works with, as well as those that who, like myself, have found it to be very beneficial. In fact, we'll even be talking to one of the winners of her annual award to who has lost the most, and that is really going to be quite a story. So join us on Thursday, but in the interim, I want to let you know also that I'm going to be in San Francisco. So in San Francisco, I am going to be doing an appearance at the Wisdom Festival, and we will be interviewing in a couple of days some of the people that are going to be speaking there. So that is going to really be quite special as well. So you'll have a bird's eye view, you might say, of those people that are going to be sharing some very special things with those of you that do have the chance to come out to the Wisdom Festival. Now, this is an annual event, and it is being held at Fort Mason on the 17th and 18th of October, which is in 2 weeks. And we are going to be there. We're going to be presenting all kinds of products, services, just, oh, anything and everything from different parts of the world. And you have a chance to be right there talking with people, interacting with them, attending lectures, classes, and you're in one of the most beautiful spots in the world, San Francisco. It's absolutely an awesome place to be. So I'm going to be there, and I will be interacting with those of you that want to meet with me. I'll have a booth, and I will be doing readings too, and also chatting with you about this, that, and the other, whatever you might be able to. So do stop by and say hello. I would love to meet you. Let me tell you who's going to be coming up this week. We're going to be talking with Lisa Knopp, and she is an author of a book called Interior Places. We're going to be traveling to Nebraska, and we're going to be learning a lot about that beautiful state. Then Deborah M. Cody, for those of you who are aspiring writers, Grits for the Oyster, 250 Pearls of Wisdom for Aspiring Writers. And, oops, I'm sorry, wrong information. Let me correct myself. I had the wrong information in front of me. On Wednesday, we're going to be talking about codependence and the power of detachment. It helps when I'm reading the right stuff. Karen Casey is going to be my guest. I told you we're going to be with TTAP. And then Brian McClure and Dr. Walter Semkwe are going to be my guests on Friday. We're going to be talking about the universal flag and then also about historical research and information on reincarnation. So that is what's going to be coming up this Friday. And all of these things will be on the BBS listing for my radio show, and that will be done today. All of that will be brought up to par. It's hard to believe, isn't it, that October is looking us straight in the eye tomorrow. Donna Sebo, give me a call if you want to chat, 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. Hope, a four-letter word that some people is, in some people's minds, they think it's sort of a silly word, but it needs to spring eternal within us. Every one of us, at one time or another, will be going through dark times. And Teresa Ravanna was a woman that had 7 children. She was a single mom. And she had reached a point where she didn't think she had anything to look forward to. And if ever you've been in that kind of a positioning, you know how uncomfortable it is. You know how despairing it can be. Sometimes you get so low, you don't even want to look because you are so afraid of being disappointed. You are so afraid that nothing is going to happen, that you just sort of crawl into yourself like a snail does into its shell and just think that's the way it is. Well, Teresa found that this was something that didn't have to be. Well, Teresa was a woman. Let me give you a little bit of background on her. She had been in a very abusive marriage. Her children were age 5 to 19. Life was very, very tough because she got out of the abusive marriage. She worked as a bus driver. They constantly were worried about food. Hunger was a frequent companion for them. Didn't have much in the way of clothing. The apartment they lived in was really dingy. She didn't ever ask for help. That was just something you just did not do. She had a strong sense of pride. She desired the help. She wanted the help. And, of course, there wasn't any that was available. She would get so discouraged she felt like she was invisible. Have you ever felt like that? I know I have at times in my life. However, somebody found out about her. And somebody sent her a note that said these exact words. Somebody's noticed your hard work and wants to help. She didn't have a clue. Who was this person? Well, who it was Dakota Walker. Dakota and her grandmother had been very, very close. And Dakota said, "Grandmother, I want to do something good in your name." Her grandmother had been a very, very special person. Her grandmother passed away in her 90s. And she said, "This is important to me. This is my promise." Well, Dakota started a massage therapy practice. She was living in Charleston, South Carolina. And she kept this promise that she'd given to her grandmother in the back of her mind. And often she'd ask herself the question, "What would my grandmother want me to do? What would my grandmother want me to do?" She said her grandmother, whenever they had a conversation, always ended with a question to Dakota. She said, "Are you happy?" Well, one day, when she was going through her thoughts about her grandmother, and that question, "Are you happy?" came out, that's when Dakota got the idea. She decided she was going to look for a mother who was on her own, raising kids, struggling to make ends meet, just like her own grandmother had had to go through. And she said, "You know what? I'm going to make sure that that person gets some help." Now, we're going to go on a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what one woman by the name of Dakota did and how she got it done. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to come back in just a moment. More good things to share. And Dakota's story, I'll tell you the rest when we return.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Before we went on break, I was telling you about the young mom, Teresa. 7 children, bad circumstances, and a woman, Dakota, a perfect stranger. Now, Dakota met Teresa, and she... Teresa didn't have a clue that Dakota was evaluating her and her circumstances. But Dakota knew that this is the woman that she wanted to assist. She knew that this was the woman that her grandmother's memory, would be honored by her helping. So, she said, "We are going to do some things for you." Dakota told Teresa that she was going to send over a cleaning crew to the house. The living conditions that this family was in was just very bad. Very, very bad. Well, Teresa didn't know what to say. She said, finally, she said, thank you. Who wouldn't want to have a cleaning crew come in and clean up a place? That's great. But Dakota had a bigger concept than Teresa could have imagined. She wanted to do a complete makeover of Teresa's home. Why? Dakota said, the home is the heart of the family, where everything starts. And when that is in order, other things seem to flow into order. So Dakota got on to the internet, posted a list of everything that Teresa needed, whether it was paint, beds, tables, whatever. She posted this list. In 55 days, everything that was needed for this family had been donated. One Sunday, Teresa was notified that she was going to be taken away from the house. There were volunteers that had all gotten together, took her off to a spa, took the kids off to do some fun stuff, and then there were carloads of other people got together, stepped inside. They had exactly 9 hours and 45 minutes to totally do the entire inside of this house. 40 people were there. 40 people in this house. They thought, oh my goodness, we've got to scrub, we've got to paint. Oh my goodness, how are we going to get this all done? You know what? They got it done. The place was done from the inside out. The kids had new clothes. They had everything fresh and clean. Mom was stunned. Teresa was amazed. She had a hard time believing that so many people cared and that people felt that she mattered. Well, they didn't just stop there. Teresa was able, because of this group of people and their interest in her and her sincerity in working so hard herself to take care of her family, they helped her find a better job, and some of the volunteers even were tutoring her children. Dakota said, it was a wonderful way for me to honor my grandmother. And she said, when we did this, it made such a difference with all of us that participated in it. If nothing else, it makes us aware we should never give up hope, because you never know how your blessings are going to come to you. And I have in front of me pictures of the before and after of the environment of this family, and it was amazing. And the difference that it made in the lives of that family just is phenomenal. Now, Rena Coughlin is a part of the Nonprofit Center of Northeast Florida. She had some suggestions. She said, if you want to do something in your community, in your neighborhood, she said, start an online buzz. That's what she calls it. She said, email the people that you know. Dakota had 200 people on her contact list. She had emailed all of those people to see if they were interested in helping her get the project done. She had a tremendous response out of those 200. Well, you may not have 200, but if you let people know, then it makes a difference. And when something is given or to someone, they should be aware also to say thank you. It's always very, very important to be appreciative of the people that are volunteering. And most importantly, keep in mind that you may have the opportunity yourself to pass along something that maybe was given to you out of the goodness of someone's heart because they wanted you to have something better than what you were experiencing. So remember that you pass it along, whatever comes your way. And don't forget that when you do something for someone else because it's what you want to do and you do it for the right reasons, that can really be very inspiring to other people. It's so easy to get stuck in the darkness of hard times. And when that kind of thoughtfulness and consideration and earnestness comes across, it really does make a difference. And it can inspire someone to get past their limitations and to move on. When it comes down to responsibility in life, we all are accountable. We're all going to make mistakes. But if we're really hardworking and we're earnest, and we do need help, many times we do need to make it okay to let other people know. I remember a time in my life where I only had a quarter a day for food. That's all I had. And when you go through times like that, you never forget. You never, ever forget. Now, I know there are times when maybe you see somebody begging on the street or you'll have someone that doesn't really have a good character and you really may not want to be involved with them in any way, shape, or form. But I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of opportunities in life where you can give freely, and you can give knowing that you're passing something along that's bettering somebody else's life. It really does make a difference. Today, when I was out doing some errands, I was hearing on another radio program how 80 million people commit to doing volunteer work that we know of, and there's a lot more than that, commit to doing volunteer work every year. They're not being paid a penny. They're doing it because they want to do it. They're doing it because they feel like it makes a difference. Sort of like giving blood. You're not going to make any money on it, but it may save the life of someone in another part of the world, of the country, maybe in your own neighborhood. Why do you do it? Just because it's the right thing to do, because you feel like that's what you want to do. And each of us have to decide what it is that means the most to us that we would like to share with other people. Sometimes it's with dollars. Sometimes it's with elbow grease, like with Jimmy Carter and his wife and other people that have been involved in building homes for others. Just, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever you want to do, it could be reading books to children at a public library. Whatever touches your heart and your mind, know that you're valuable and know that what you give does make a difference. Well, I know we've got a few minutes left here. Let's see. What about your brain? Are you a practical person? Are you direct? Do you like to follow the rules to get to your goals? Do you like things neatly in their place? Well, if you are, you're probably what would be called a yellow person. Yes. Why? Because you're an analytical thinker. You're a person that really likes to get things done. And you usually have a lot of strength. You have a lot of confidence. And people like you. They like to be around you. They feel that you're reliable, you're loyal, you're organized. And by golly, you're somebody that they want to have on their team. Now, what if you're a person that you thrive when you work alone, you enjoy it, you think outside the box, and you're always curious about how things work? Does that appeal to you? Well, in the brain department, you're considered a green. That's right. Why? Because you're a curious innovator. You're smart, you're resourceful, and you like to solve problems. And you just look for things that you can solve. You like to be versatile. You don't mind spending time tinkering with things, and you usually have a pretty down-to-earth attitude about life. Now, what if you're a person that's artistic? Your intuition is right on most of the time, and nothing makes you happier than when you're helping other people. Well, you're what they'd call a blue brain. Uh-huh. You're a people person. Warm, creative. Everything is very visual for you. And that is because that's what the intuitive self does. It works with that visual aspect of the brain. And you like to make real connections with other people. Deep connections, not superficial. Now, if you believe that fortune favors the bold, you dislike structure and routine, and you tend to be competitive and driven, hey, you've got one of those orange brains. You're a risk taker. You don't mind the high mountains, and you don't mind jumping with the bungees either. You like spur of the moment activities, and you thrive on just being out there and meeting whatever challenges may come your way. You know, there's only about 15% of the population that really likes to be of that demeanor. That's okay. That is the type of person that likes to live on the edge of their seat in more ways than one. If any of this sounds familiar to you, remember, you can always have a mixture of combinations. You're literally like a rainbow, but some of us have more predisposition towards certain attitudes and patternings than others. But that's just a little bit of trivia to share with you. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow we'll talk about codependence and the power of detachment. You're not going to want to miss this. This is Donna Sebo. This is a wonderful day for you to be alive, no matter what's going on with Wall Street. Hey, you're the boss of your corner, of your world. Keep that position. It's a good one to have, because you can make your world what you want it to be. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.